Mike McEntee here on AM 950. Have we got a packed show for you today? We have the rhetoric that's been heating up in the second congressional district race between the two DFLers who are seeking the party endorsement. Well, we're going to be talking to both of them today and tomorrow. First up today is Angie Craig, and tomorrow we're going to be speaking with Jeff Erdman. So that will be happening here at the about halfway past the hour here on the show. And then what happens less often than a Super Bowl in Minnesota? Well, I think your first thing will be a Viking Super Bowl victory. But besides that, how about a super blue blood moon eclipse? We're going to talk to a NASA scientist about a special treat that you can observe if you get up tomorrow morning kind of early. But first, Justice David Strauss has been confirmed as federal Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals Justice, leaving a vacancy on Minnesota Supreme Court. The U.S. Senate voted on this today, and it was a 56-42 vote. Minnesota's two U.S. senators split on this. Amy Klobuchar voting for confirming Strauss and Tina Smith voting against. Smith said that Strauss's answer about what he'd do if the U.S. Supreme Court someday overturned its landmark civil rights decision in Brown versus Board of Education and returned the country to the, quote, discriminatory, separate but equal doctrine. Strauss had answered that while he would not like it, he would nonetheless have a duty to follow and apply that precedent. Now, Smith felt that was not the right answer and that he should ignore something like that. Now, Governor Mark Dayton will now get to place one more appointee on the Minnesota Supreme Court because Strauss will be leaving. That means five of the seven justices on Minnesota Supreme Court will be Dayton appointees. Now, tonight, Donald Trump delivers his first State of the Union address. And as he has for the past year, he will take credit for the booming stock market and a lot of other things. But is that really a good indication of how America's middle class is doing economically? And is that because of or in spite of Donald Trump? Joining us with a preview of tonight's address is Seth Hanlon. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a former assistant to President Obama on tax policy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we've heard this in nearly every speech that Donald Trump makes. If he isn't, you know, talking about how he won a landslide in the election, he's talking about how he is claiming the credit for the good economy. Should he be claiming that credit for the good economy?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the fact is that he inherited a relatively strong economy, one that had been recovering for several years and was gaining strength under President Obama. So he came into pretty good economic conditions, not good enough, I don't think, and I think they're still not good enough. But the fact is that really everything President Trump has done has been to hurt workers, to hurt their ability to get better wages and to redistribute income to the wealthy and corporations with his tax bill. So to the extent that workers are doing slightly better, I think it's because of the continuations of the trends that we saw under President Obama, and certainly not more despite of than because of what President Trump has done.
You mentioned that Trump's policies have hurt instead of helped workers. Tell us how that is.
So in several ways, I mean, if you just sort of like go down every single aspect of his policies, it's designed to disempower workers, right? So, one example recently is that they rolled back a rule that was put in place in the Obama administration to protect workers restaurant workers from their employers essentially stealing their tips, just taking their tips and pocketing them, even though they were intended for the wait staff. The Trump administration rolled back that rule. That's just sort of like one example. Another one is how President Trump has rolled back some protections on overtime. So about 12 million fewer workers are going to have overtime, time and a half protections under President Trump. Those are just a couple examples, but the thrust of President Trump's economic policies is to undermine the power of workers to bargain for higher wages.
And then when we talk about actual job growth here in the economy, we keep seeing that we are adding more jobs. He trumpets that every time that there's an increase in the number of jobs. Are we doing as well on jobs as we should be?
So in 2017, it was actually the weakest job growth that we had in 6 years, dating back to 2010. In fairness to President Trump, I mean, I think job growth was still fairly solid last year. We continued to grow jobs, and the unemployment rate continued to decline. Jobs grew by a little over 2 million jobs, and that was actually the weakest that we've seen in 6 years. So it's certainly not the case that we're gaining steam in that respect.
So who is benefiting under Donald Trump? I mean, we've heard this great tax bill that passed was going to give everybody a few hundred to maybe $4,000. Is that a likely outcome? And who is really benefiting from that bill and the other policies?
So the tax bill is a $1.5 trillion tax bill, and it's basically funded by adding to the deficit and by having fewer people with subsidized health care under the marketplaces or under Medicaid. And the benefits of the tax cuts are very skewed to the wealthy and to large corporations. Millionaires are getting a tax cut of about 100 times what people in the middle are getting. We see again that the Trump economic policy is really not focused on the middle class. It's focused on high-income people and the wealthy and well-connected.
Now, deregulation is one word that Trump likes to use. He likes to talk about sweeping away regulations, so we're back to the levels of the 60s and 70s. The Republicans are very on board with him on that, and we're likely to hear praise of that tonight and promises of more deregulation. When we start talking about these things, it sounds like, oh, hey, that's great. We have fewer rules, but how does that impact average Americans and workers?
Right. So first of all, there's just simply no evidence that the steps he's taken to roll back regulations are responsible for the growth or job creation this year. And of course, the job creation hasn't been particularly strong anyway. But when we talk about regulations, we're talking about protections, right? Protections for clean air, protections for clean water, safety protections, for transportation, like with cars and highway safety. And also consumer protections. So, for example, the protections for retirement savers against being essentially fleeced by unscrupulous financial advisors who try to steer people into investing in products that aren't appropriate for them, where the advisor might get some kind of a kickback essentially. And so rolling back all of these types of protections really hurts families in a lot of different ways.
I mean, when you're talking about consumer protections, the first thing that jumps to my mind is the Consumer Protection Bureau, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, that Mick Mulvaney's in charge of. And I think, if I remember correctly, he asked for a budget of absolutely zero. How are we going to do consumer protection when we have that type of organization looking out for us?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely the fox guarding the hen house in that situation. Yeah, and they've already started to roll back some of the protections, like against predatory loans, like extremely high interest payday loans that cost people a total of about $8 billion in fees from hard pressed families. So those are the types of things that the Consumer Financial Protection Board was put in place right after the financial crisis of 2008. To guard against. And so now President Trump has appointed Mick Mulvaney, who's he said that he doesn't believe the Protection Board should even exist. So now he's running that agency and obviously trying to undermine it from within.
We're speaking with Seth Hanlon. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We're talking about President Trump's State of the Union address, which will be coming up tonight. And we've heard that he's going to be proposing an increase on spending on infrastructure. You argue that exactly the opposite is going to happen, that he's cutting infrastructure spending. Explain that.
Right. So there's a bait and switch going on. So President Trump is, he keeps on saying he has a $1 trillion infrastructure plan, but he doesn't have anything of the sort. What he's really proposing is to spend $200 billion on his new plan, but then cut more than $200 billion from other sources of funding, including the Highway Trust Fund funding for states. And so what you have at the end of the day is he's actually taking away funding streams for states and putting more financial pressures on states and cities to have to support their own infrastructure. And so ultimately, this is not really a plan. It's not really an investment at all. It's a disinvestment in America's infrastructure. And by doing that, he's at the end of the day, you know, states and cities are just going to have to rely more on tolls or, you know, raise taxes or raise revenues or somehow bear increased costs. So you know, the misnomer, I don't know where he got this $1 trillion figure. I think he sort of made it up. You know, it's one of the things he kind of makes up out of thin air. But it's really not an infrastructure plan as much as a plan to shift more of the burden on maintaining our infrastructure and investing in infrastructure to states and cities as opposed to the federal government.
Now, I know, Seth, you're going to watch the speech tonight because, well, that's your job. Is there anything in this that you would be surprised Donald Trump to say that maybe you hope he might say?
Anything I hope he would say? Well, I certainly hope he's not, you know, divisive against, you know, immigrant communities, as he often is. You know, I don't know. I just hope he tells the truth.
Okay. One can hope, well, guess. We can hope for that. We can hope for that. We'll hope that maybe he'll stick to the script. I guess that's always a big challenge for him sometimes. So we've been speaking with Seth Hanlon, a senior fellow over at the Center for American Progress. You can find more of what he writes over there at AmericanProgress.org. Seth, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Now, the State of the Union is at 8:10 p.m. tonight, and you can watch it live on theuptake.org. That's over at theuptake.org. Now, related to that, Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona is calling for the arrests of young immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children, often called dreamers, who attend Trump's State of the Union tonight. Dozens of Democrats, including Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison and one centrist Republican lawmaker, are bringing such immigrants as their guests to the State of the Union amid the debate in Congress of whether they should be allowed to stay in the country. Now, Gosar says he asked the Capitol Police and Attorney General Jeff Sessions to consider checking the identifications of everyone attending the State of the Union and arrest any immigrants they find in the country illegally. Mr. Gosar's fellow Arizona Republican, Senator Jeff Flake, didn't take kindly to his colleague's citizen's arrest idea, tweeting that, quote, "This is why we can't have nice things." Okay. Well, up next, a triple treat, a super blue moon eclipse. A NASA scientist tells us when and where and how you can watch it. That's all next here on the Mike McEntee Show.
Light the candle, you blow it out again.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day. 7 days a week.
Hey, Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park, or visit HabitationDesign.com.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show. If you get up really early tomorrow, Wednesday, you get to see a very rare event, a lunar trifecta, a supermoon, a blue moon combined with the eclipse blood moon. Here to talk about this very cool event is Dr. Geronimo Villanueva. He is a planetary scientist at NASA, Goddard Space Flight Center, and a really smart guy who just happens to have a minor planet named after him. Welcome back to the program.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to be back on the show.
Last time we talked was this summer, and you were preparing for the solar eclipse. Did you get to see that thing in person?
I did see it. It was magnificent. I had to say, one in a lifetime. It was great.
It was fantastic. I got to see it too. It was awesome. And the event that we're talking about happening tomorrow morning is probably not going to be as breathtaking as a solar eclipse, but it's significant. It's called the Super Blue Blood Moon Eclipse, which sounds like a little bit of a title for a superhero horror flick.
Yeah.
But why is it called that? Why is it significant?
Well, you see, always the moon is trying to be important in the show here. So in this case, the last time the moon was covering the sun. In this case, we are covering the sun on the moon. So that's what we call a lunar eclipse. So the moon, and that's one of the elements.
Now, NASA says this is part of the Super Moon Trilogy. And I'm assuming that's better than the Star Wars prequel trilogy, isn't it?
That is correct. So it's a unique event, as you know, you have the three elements being combined. And I think the other it's a good thing is to look at the moon outside. It's going to be a beautiful day to actually appreciate the moon being so bright. And if you see being disappearing in front of us because of the eclipse event, and then it gets red immediately after, that's already by default a fantastic sight.
Now, we are in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the proud home of the Super Bowl. Are we going to be able to see the super blue blood moon eclipse? And what time do we have to get up for that?
Well, you're gonna see it. Well, you're gonna see actually most of the show. The moon. So what happens is you should be, let's say, 2 hours before sunrise, 1 hour before sunrise. You go out at the night. It's gonna be still dark, and you will see this beautiful moon. Then you will start seeing that the moon start to become dimmer. Actually, we see like it's been eaten by like a sphere. In this case, we're gonna be our own shadow, and it will disappear in front of you. It's gonna be amazing. And then in that moment, boom, it gets red. So and then, if you keep waiting a little bit more, then it will disappear in your horizon. So it will set. The moon will set, and at the same time, you will see the sun coming up from the east. So just look at the west. You will see the moon, and then you will see it disappearing as the sun sets.
So besides this wonderful spectacle, which will be like the red moon setting, you know, looking like we're on a strange planet, maybe Tatooine or something.
There's
actual science to this. What are we going to be able to learn about the moon, or, you know, observing it during a lunar eclipse?
And you know, as we were talking before, the solar eclipse that we experienced the last summer, which was amazing, in our own planet, we felt a dramatic change in temperature, and we had an atmosphere. Imagine now if you go to the moon and there's no atmosphere. So these transitions in temperature is going to be super, super strong. And we learned a lot about the surface of the moon, because we, you know, by this rapid transition between being fully illuminated to be completely in the darkness, we learn about the properties of the surface. We can see how volatiles like water are being protected or stored on the surface of the moon. So we also get a lot of science done at the same time.
Wow. You know, I remember when we first landed on the moon. That's how old I am. And it's going to be 50 years ago that happened coming up here. I think Next year. It's been 50 years since we first landed on the moon. Have we learned everything that we can about the moon, or is there a lot left to learn here?
Well, you said correctly. So, I mean, we learned a lot 50 years ago. The Apollo was an incredible mission. And then in the last 50 years, we have rediscovered the moon. You know, we sent this this orbiter we call LRO, Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, that has allowed us to get these incredible high definition properties of the surface. We have these images. We can actually see the footprints and the tracks of the rovers that we did 50 years ago. And as I was telling you, we have discovered that there's water on the moon. This is the coldest place in the solar system is on the moon, not in Pluto, is here next to us. And wow. All these processes are we have discovered things in the last 8 years. So there's much more to learn, because the moon for us is always our gateway to the solar system. The more
Okay. Oh, we had a little problem there. We got you back on the line. Just real quickly, how rare is this thing that we're going to see tomorrow? To put it in perspective for our audience, the last time we got a Super Bowl in Minnesota was about 26 years ago, and we'll probably have to at least wait another quarter century for another one. Are we going to have to wait that long for another super moon, blue moon, lunar eclipse, or are we going to have a Super Bowl first?
Well, you know, I will tell you the truth. I hope you get more Super Bowls, guys, but this thing happens very rarely. The last time it happened, it was 1982, and before that was in 1844. So we're talking about 150 years ago. And it will happen. The next one is going to happen in 2037. That is in almost 20 years ahead. And then after that event, it's going to again 150 years in time. So this is definitely a very rare event.
Wow. Folks, take the time to get up early tomorrow and take a look at this. It's going to be fantastic. Dr. Geronimo Villanueva, I appreciate your time today.
Please, thank you for having us in the show.
And I want to make a note here. 952-946-6205 is the number that we always ask you to call during the show. And I'm going to ask you to call it any time between now and the beginning of precinct caucuses, or the day of precinct caucuses on February 6th. Because what I'd like you to tell me is if you have a candidate or cause that you would like to promote. Do you have something? Do you really like one of the candidates who's running for governor? Tim Walz, Rebecca Otto, Chris Coleman, Tina Liebling. We have a bunch of people running on the DFL side there. And I know I've left somebody out, and I'm sure I'll get corrected on that very quickly. But if you have anybody you want to give a shout out to there, or in the Senate races, or let's say, you know, you have somebody that you are supporting for a legislative candidate, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you on why that is. Aaron Murphy, there we go. I remembered. Aaron Murphy is also running in the race. I'd like to hear from you on what you think about, you know, why you are going to the caucuses to support that candidate, or maybe you've got a resolution that you want to have the party, you know, change. Maybe you're one of those folks that was upset about how the whole superdelegate process worked, and you want to see that changed, or you have some other thoughts about what the DFL should be doing in terms of its platform. And this is the caucuses are where you get this stuff started. So if you have some thoughts on that, 952-946-6205 is the number that you can call between now and precinct caucus day. Well, you know, we're going to be doing an interview here coming up next, so we won't be taking the phone calls. But you can do that, or you can go onto AM950's Facebook page, and you can comment there, send us a message. I'll get it. Or email. I remember there's email. You can send it to comment@am950radio.com. So you have all those various ways that you can let me know what you think. Give a shout out to, you know, your candidate, your cause. This is your opportunity to have a little free airtime and talk to the rest of the voters who are listening to AM 950. And as we know, a lot of progressive DFLers listen to AM 950. So this is your chance to reach that audience. No charge. You can just call, pick up the phone, leave us a phone message. And the shorter and more, you know, to the point the message is, the better off we'll be, because we'll obviously, I don't think I'm going to be able to air a 5-minute diatribe from somebody. But if you have some thoughts on that, again, 952-946-6205 is the number to call. So speaking of candidates, we're going to get into today and tomorrow, we're going to get into the Minnesota 2nd Congressional District race. We have two DFLers running for the endorsement, Angie Craig, who ran last time and lost to Representative Jason Lewis, now Representative Jason Lewis, in that race, and a new opponent, Jeff Erdman, who is running against her. Those two folks were going to be on our show. We have Angie Craig coming up here next, and Jeff Erdman will be talking to tomorrow. So we're going to take a break now, and in just a few minutes, we'll be chatting with Angie Craig. You're listening to AM 950. I'm Mike McIntyre.
The Electric Fetus wants your used records. The used vinyl buying bonanza is going on now with the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl from now through January 31st and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or even the gift department. There's no better time to bring in your used LPs. Find the Electric Fetus just south of downtown Minneapolis at 2000 4th Avenue South. Open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 Saturday, and 11 to 6 on Sunday.
6 years ago, Dr. Emily Stein was confronted with a life-changing situation. Her grandmother developed rheumatoid arthritis and was unable to maintain her own dental hygiene. Unfortunately, her assisted living facility didn't have the resources to help her maintain her dental health either. Once her dental health deteriorated, her overall health deteriorated too. It wasn't long until she had multiple tooth extractions and a severe stroke. That's when Emily put her Stanford background in microbiology and immunology to work. She created an oral care lozenge, or Smart Mint, that manages oral bacteria to promote strong teeth, healthy gums, and fresh breath. Daily Dental Care is a life sciences company dedicated to addressing public health by targeting the root cause of dental disease. Because let's face it, we all could use a little extra help supplementing our daily dental care routine. Visit dailydentalcareswithans.com or go to Amazon to purchase our lozenges and use promo code DDC95002 for a 25% discount on your first purchase.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Daily Dental Care lozenges are not intended to replace daily dental hygiene practices.
This is Danny Ziegler, and my family's restaurant, Our Kitchen, has been located off 36th Street between Aldrich and Bryant for 76 years. Stop in and you'll enjoy some of the most delicious comfort food around. Our made-from-scratch breakfast and lunch dishes like French toast, eggs, and hamburgers will be made right in front of you. And don't miss our award-winning pancakes and hash browns, too. Our Kitchen is open weekdays from 6:30 to 3, weekends 7 to 2, and enjoy our pleasant outdoor seating, weather permitting. Learn more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to the Mike McIntyre Show here on AM 950. Just a week from today, DFLers in the 2nd Congressional District will be starting the endorsement process to figure out who their candidates will be against incumbent Republican Congressman Jason Lewis. It's the precinct caucuses. Now, one of the two candidates who is seeking that DFL endorsement is Angie Craig, and she joins us right now. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Excellent.
So I know you have been you're the person who ran last time around, but for many people, this may be the first time they're hearing you. Give us a little introduction on who you are and why you're running for Congress.
Sure. Well, why I'm running again is because I know I can win. So that's going to be an easy answer. So, Mike, I ran the third closest race in the country in 2016. We came up just over 1% short in no doubt what was a Republican wave year here in the 2nd Congressional District. I've attended the marches since then, the rallies. I've, been to the vigils. I've held the signs. And I'm running for Congress because there is just too many things that are keeping working families from the American dream today. I personally grew up in a mobile home park that was our affordable housing. That's what we could do and still have my mom make a living. And my own experiences, my mother was a single mom with three kids and went back to college and over 9 years and got her college degree and became a teacher. So I think that kind of America, where the government and the economy works for every American and it's not closed off just because of how much money you're born into, that's the America that I want to help create.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that last election because, you know, a lot of people are focused on that right now. You spent about $4.7 million. Jason Lewis spent about $1 million. And as you mentioned, you lost by a very slim margin. A lot of that had to do with President Trump's kind of very surprising support in the 2nd Congressional District. That may be part of it. But when you look back, is there something you look at and say you could have done different? And are you applying those lessons this time around?
Well, you know, start out with Jason had a huge advantage over any Democrat in that race in that he started out with 50% name ID. Any new candidate, unfortunately, starts out with 2 or 3% name recognition, and so we chased him the entire cycle. That's why it is not unusual, as you know, Mike, for it to take more than one shot to win a seat in Congress. In fact, Rick Nolan, it took him a couple of times, and Colin Peterson, it took him four times, and Dave Wellstone, who's supporting me in my race, often reminds me that it took his father, Paul Wellstone, a loss in a statewide race to come back and win that Senate seat. You know, so all this work I typically say is, look, I was planning to run again. I just thought it would be for reelection here this time. As I look at that last race, you're right, there were some factors that were outside of my control. But I'll be honest, I think the national message from Democrats in 2016 just wasn't as focused on the economy and on the politics of people's lives as it could have been. And I think it created a real vacuum for voters. I think now, and I hope you see in my campaign a difference in terms of messaging here this cycle, you know, I'm going to stick very much to issues that are pocketbook issues as much as I possibly can. We've got to get back to work for the people of Minnesota. And, you know, that means taking some of the pettiness out of our politics and just getting back to work for people. Good jobs that pay a living wage and that allow people to support their families, investing in job skills that allow Americans to excel at those jobs and take care of the next generation. Affordable universal health care, real tax reform, investments in education, and campaign finance and government reform, too. We're in this spot that we have to raise all this money to be competitive in a seat for Congress because of Citizens United. And that is a huge priority for me, is to work to end Citizens United as a member of the U.S. Congress.
Now, I've asked some of the folks who are in the 2nd Congressional District who are interested in this race to shoot me some comments or questions they like answered on Facebook. And let me run through a few of them here. I've got Heidi who said, I like to hear some of the ways Angie's various work roles have created new opportunities for women and girls. I think she's talking about your past, what you've done in your life and how that's been a model for people. Well, go ahead and tell me about that.
Well, look, it's no secret that the number of women who are in science and technology roles, you know, certainly needs to be improved in this country. And we wanted, as a former member of a medical manufacturing company here in Minnesota, we wanted to make sure that that was a huge priority. So the St. Jude Foundation actually helped sponsor the first Girls in Science program, and I know they've continued that since I've departed the company. We also had a very strong program for women in business where we were focused on making sure that women had opportunities for equal pay, for advancement in the business. So a lot of the things that obviously I'll be working on as a member of Congress, I've had an opportunity to work on as a member of a local company.
Now, you mentioned your work at St. Jude's, and I know you're part of the St. Jude's PAC, and I bring that up because A, you mentioned it, but also your opponent here in the DFL opponent, Jeff Erdman, has brought that up. And he brings up something that Jason Lewis did, I think, during the campaign that you gave to Republicans who tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act. What's your response to that when he brings that up?
Well, look, I know you say it, but in recent days, obviously, There have been some ridiculous political attacks on me. It's not new news, any of this. Everyone knows it was following the race last time that I was a member of the Political Action Board for St. Jude. In fact, Mike, I was the only Democrat on that committee. And I, when you go back and you sort of look at that committee at the company, when I joined in 2006, just over 20% of the PAC's giving was to Democrats. By 2010, that was 53%. So during my time on that board, even as the only Democrat, I was able to influence more equal giving among Republicans and Democrats. And I'm sorry to say, as a good Democrat, that after I left the company to go run for Congress, it looks like Open Secrets shows that the giving to Democrats went back down. So my view of the world is, you know, you're either at the table or you're on the menu. And I had an opportunity to be at the table to help influence the giving at St. Jude, and I tried to influence it to give in a bipartisan basis.
Okay. Another question here from a listener. Karen wrote down, I'd like to hear about what Angie's top priorities will be when she gets to D.C. What issues is she most passionate about working on? I noticed on your website you have a whole list of issues. What is it that really drives you passionately when somebody says, I mean, we kind of asked that, why are you running? But what passionately drives you?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I wouldn't be sitting here today if it weren't for an access to high-quality education, public education in this country. And, you know, I often tell the story of my mother who went back to school. She spent 9.5 years working to get her college degree. The truth is, I had to do the same thing. I worked at McDonald's. I worked at a local shoe shop. And I'm really frustrated in this country today that young people coming out have to make a very serious choice about how much debt they want to take on just to get a good state college degree like I have. So one of my huge priorities, Mike, is going to be focused on public education. And I'm, you know, I'm a huge proponent of K through 14 education system. And essentially, I think 2 years of community college or an associate's degree or 2 years toward a bachelor's degree or a technical skill or an apprenticeship program needs to be something that we are investing in this country. Many other nations, and I've worked in a number of companies, countries over the years, they're investing in their people. We've stopped investing in Americans in this nation. And so if there's one thing I'd like to do, it's get back to making sure that these students can go to school and come out without that huge burdensome college debt that we're forcing them to. And, you know, the first bill I said I would introduce would be an investment in public education. I think we need to give teachers a raise in this country. I ran human resources. I know what competitive wages look like. And that horrible tax bill that just passed, if we had closed the carried interest loophole that Republicans talk so much about closing, Jason Lewis even talked about closing at one point, we could send $16 billion back to teachers so that we could recruit and retain and pay teachers appropriate wages. So we just need to do what's right and what is practical and stop with the pettiness in our politics.
Now, I think Austin kind of jumps on that same idea, talking about student, about, you know, essentially making college more affordable. Austin writes, I'd like to hear Angie's ideas on the student loan debt industry and her ideas for making higher education affordable or even free. I mean, I think that was a proposal from Bernie Sanders. Is that something you embrace, or is there a way to do that?
Well, I think the proposal we have takes away 2 years of that burden. And Austin is exactly right. Minnesota is, I think, the fifth highest state in the nation when it comes to student loan debt. And it's, I think, on average, almost $32,000. And that's low based on the number of young people that I've talked to who have come out and of college and not been able to find a decent job or have $800, $1,200 a month in student loan bills. And, you know, that really is affecting our economy. So if we could eliminate those 2 years of debt and lower interest rates, there's no reason, Mike, why the federal government should charge a student less than what a business pays for its debt. To me, that's immoral, and we need to make sure that we're investing in Americans again.
Okay, and this is kind of related to that. Siri asks, what would you do to address education disparities in our country? We've got this achievement gap. And that, I mean, what you're talking about here is higher education, but this kind of reaches, you know, into kindergarten and, elementary school. This is where this starts. How would you address something like that?
Well, as you well know, the federal government has not been pulling its weight when it comes to prioritizing federal funding for public education. And part of that, obviously, is the sequester that we've been under now, I believe, for 6 years. And, you know, that sequester was unusual in that non-defense spending, of course, for 10 years was capped while defense spending was not. What we have to do is look at the inequities that exist in different school districts throughout the country. I spent about 4 years working as a young reporter, believe it or not, a newspaper reporter, in a place in the South where you just can't imagine the disparity that existed between the public city schools and the public county schools. And so I think we've got to be very purposeful to direct funding to those communities where we have underserved students and make sure that they continue to grow and make progress. The other big priority for me in public education, Mike, is really spending on special education. In our own family, my wife and I, we have four sons. Three of them are now graduated from high school. Two are in a traditional four-year college. One is in a community college seeking a technical certificate. And our kids are all different, but we have two that have gone through special education programs in public schools here in Minnesota. And there's no one who's going to be more committed to making sure that our children and our schools receive the funding that they need to appropriately serve the children in their district. In fact, the federal government promised 40% in federal education funding, and right now that's just under 15%. So I can't wait to fight for federal funding for special education for this district.
We're speaking with Angie Craig. She's one of two candidates who's running for the DFL endorsement in the 2nd Congressional District. I want to talk about precinct caucuses because we have those coming up here on February 6th. And I encourage everybody within the sound of my voice, if you live in Minnesota, please do go to your precinct caucus. It's how you have a voice in what's going to happen. Angie, have you been to precinct caucuses before?
Absolutely, I have. I certainly have here. I'm in Senate District 51. In fact, I was precinct chair of 5A in Senate District 51 before I ran for Congress.
And, I mean, before we get into what you're going to be doing, a lot of people look at the precinct caucuses and say, oh, it's a commitment of a lot of time. It sounds confusing. What do you say when people bring that up?
Just show up. Just show up. It is such an incredible experience to be with like-minded neighbors who really are working to help direct where this country is headed for the future. The first time I turned up and got involved as a delegate, so not just turning up to caucus, but turning up to really get involved, it was such a fantastic experience, both just understanding the process of how you really get to know your candidates when you're in the caucus. This is grassroots democracy at its finest. I just can't believe in Minnesota, too, Mike, just how many people are showing up this cycle. And so I'm very optimistic. In the last election, we had 2,000 distinct volunteers to the campaign. Every single week, as we've opened our campaign office, as we're having volunteer hours open, we're having 15 and 20 people show up just to make calls to get people out to the caucuses. And these folks are, if 15 people show up, we usually know a couple of them. It's just amazing how many new people have decided, I've got to channel that energy and that discontent about the direction of the country, and I've got to get involved to help win elections. And I'll be honest, I need your help. I've asked a number of folks to caucus for me. I'm asking everyone in CD2 to caucus for me and give me one more shot at Jason Lewis. There is no doubt in my mind that with the energy that we see for precinct caucuses and the energy we see in races in Virginia and New Jersey, that if you put me up against him one more time, we're going to find that last 2% to finally bring this district over to Democrats.
And this is really kind of a dumb question, but I think it's a question that people who have not been involved in the process may want the answer to. When you go to a precinct caucus, you say you want them to caucus for you. How does that happen? How does somebody caucus for you or for any other candidate?
Well, you show up and you give them your address and they tell you where to go. And then as you get into your caucus, I know for this February 6th date, you'll be taking a straw poll only on the governors. But when they ask who wants to be a delegate at the organizing unit convention, that's the next step. You raise your hand. So caucusing for me, that's the first step, is showing up on February 6th. Put your hand up when someone says, do you want to be a delegate? And then as you go to the next level, put yourself up, hand up and say, I support Angie Craig for Congress. And you and I both know, Mike, it's a lot more complicated than that. But the first time I went, I just figured it out. You just figure it out. And it's a lot of fun to be a delegate and get to be the voice that gets to know each of the candidates very, very closely. I spend a lot of my time calling potential caucus goers and potential delegates. And, you know, it's unlike a lot of other states where you get a lot of one-on-one time and a lot of talk time with your next representative. And so it's just a great opportunity, and I encourage everyone to get involved. And we have caucus trainings. If anyone is interested in learning more about how to caucus or about volunteering or caucusing for Angie Craig, you can go to our campaign website at angiecraig.com and just sign up to volunteer.
We're speaking with Angie Craig. She's a candidate for the DFL endorsement, 2nd Congressional District. We're going to take a break here right now, but Angie, when we get back, I want to talk about the elephant in the room for a lot of people and why people are showing up, and that's Donald Trump. I want your thoughts, and we'll come back and talk about that next year on the Mike McEntee Show.
Doc and Lyft Incorporated in Spring Park reminds us, no one anywhere is more noble, righteous, selfless, or courageous than our United States Armed Forces. These brave men and women and their families foot the bill for our freedom every day. We can show we appreciate their sacrifices. Send a military care package today to let them know that they are now and always in our thoughts and prayers. This message from Doc and Lyft Incorporated in Spring Park. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
This is Bill McLeslie, owner of IP House. When you got your computer, you heard that it all works together seamlessly. You just need to connect the printer to the Bluetooth on the router? Does your business struggle with technology? Our mission is to make technology simple. We provide tech support for businesses just like yours. We help you take control of your technology with support in plain English. If your technology has the better of you, call us, 612-337-6337.
I'm Jeff Erdman, and I'm running for the DFL endorsement for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District to unseat Jason Lewis and provide people a real, working-class voice in Washington. I grew up in a union home in Lewiston, Minnesota. My dad worked in a flour mill, and my mom provided daycare. My wife Ruth and I have raised 3 kids in Dakota County. I've been an American government teacher and head football coach for 28 years, with the last 18 years being at Rosemont High School. Ruth works as a speech therapist in schools. We've dedicated our lives to local families, and now I'm running to serve them. Here's what I believe. Healthcare is a human right. I'm the only candidate pushing for a single-payer Medicare-for-all system. I'm also the only candidate who opposes drilling, and I have aggressive plans for localizing green jobs and creating wealth in our local economies. It's time for real political reform to take money out of politics. Learn more and see how to caucus February 6th at erdmanforcongress.com. I'm Jeff Erdman, and it's time for change.
Mike McEntee back here on PM 950. We're speaking with Angie Craig, who is one of the candidates running for the DFL endorsement in the 2nd Congressional District to face off against Republican Jason Lewis. And I mentioned this before the break. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Donald Trump. Angie, I know you're not running against Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is a reason that a lot of people are showing up at these precinct caucuses because they're upset with what he's been doing. So what's your message to them?
Look, I think my message is one of optimism. I was talking to a group of folks the other day, and one of the most disappointed moments of my life really in the last 10 years was in 2008, probably the last time I was truly disappointed before the November 2016 elections played out. And I was married, Mike, in California to my wife, Cheryl, in 2008. And in October, and a month later, California passed Proposition 8. And I just can't tell you how bad that felt to believe that, you know, our vision of America was not pressing forward. But look at what we did when that happened. Look at what we did in this country. We gathered new friends. We worked together. We pushed forward. And by 2012, Minnesota was the first company to defeat a hateful constitutional amendment. And by the next year, we passed marriage equality in this state. I look at this a little bit like that. This is an opportunity for us if we take advantage of it. I know we've taken three steps back, but I believe if we gather our friends, and that's what we've been doing. We've been showing up. We've been gathering new friends, gathering new allies. And now we're going to march forward. And instead of marching two steps forward in 16, we're pressing forward. And I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. There are people showing up everywhere. I was down in New Prague recently, and I joked as I walked in the room that if I had 100 voters in New Prague in 2016, I would have been surprised. I walked in the room, and there were 100 people sitting there ready to hear me speak. So people are not happy with the direction of the country, and the way we show that, the way we change the course of this country, is by an election in November. And so we all have to focus on the one thing, and that is standing up to fight through winning elections.
Now, if congressional Democrats should win a majority in 2018, there's a lot of people, especially some Democrats, who said that they think Donald Trump should be impeached. One of our congresswomen, Betty McCollum, just recently came out and said that. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I want to let the Mueller investigation play out. I think it's really important, just as an individual, that we let process play out before we judge. Again, I mean, if we were only judging from his obsessive Twitter rants, that might be one conversation. But if we are looking at something as serious as impeachment, I think we've got to let the investigation run forward. We have to look at the facts. This is nothing short of democracy here at risk, and I think we have to take a thoughtful approach forward, and so I would want to wait on those facts.
Okay. Angie Craig. Angie Craig is a candidate for the DFL endorsement in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District. Precinct caucuses are a week from today, so no matter where you stand on the candidates, you won't be heard unless you get there. Angie, thank you so much for allowing people to hear you today.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. That is our show today. We are going to have Angie's opponent, Jeff Erdman, is going to be on the program tomorrow. We'll be able to talk to him about a lot of the same issues. So we're going to ask you that again. If you have questions, go to our Facebook page and shoot them my direction. I know we had some more here that we did not get to today. I'm sorry. We had a lot of questions, but we wanted to cover as much ground as we could. Also, we'll be having the candidates for the 3rd Congressional District who are running for Congress on the show here in the next couple of days as well. So you got thoughts on questions that you'd like to see asked, go ahead and send them our way. And of course, if you have anything you want to say about the candidates, call 952-946-6205 and let us know why you're supporting them. We'll air it here on the show. If you have. That's it for today's show. We'll be back.